crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy.
Hey, hey, hey.
Get that vibrato in there.
Yeah. That's all psychos.
And now you're turning British? Hi. Hi, psychos.
Hi, psychos. It's me, Karin.
And it's me, Grace. And as previously stated, this is Psychoanalysis.
Where your two favorite psychos analyze random topics and let you forget about the world for about an hour each week. Every other week, actually.
Every other week, not each week.
Yeah.
But maybe someday we'll do that again.
Yeah, when life gets a little less crazy, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Will it ever?
I'm kind of really happy with the. I'm really happy with like the way we do it right now. So.
Me too.
It makes me like, so, I have a week where I think about it, and a week where I forget about it, and a week where I think about it.
100%. That's exactly what I do. So I'm really loving that right now.
Me too.
What have you been up to this week? Have you finished Bridgerton yet?
Dude, I'm still on the second episode.
You, like, literally haven't even gotten to the good part.
No, I know, and I know that, but I swear, Karin, I'm just so busy. I, like, don't.
Okay, fine. Like, I'll give you some grace, but also, like, this weekend, what
else do
you
have to
do?
Maybe I'll watch it while I'm at work on Saturday. Should I just, okay, like, turn it on at work?
Like, I mean, some scenes are, like, not work appropriate, but also, like, who cares, you know?
Fun fact, one time while I was at work, I applied not for a sex work job, but I applied to like be a marketing person at like a sex shop.
All right.
Like on the work computer. And I remember being like,
into the history.
Yeah. I literally consulted my manager about it. I was like, how bad would this be? And she was like, go for it. And I was like,
okay. Oh, so they know.
God, she knows. That's funny. She's not the big boss, but...
Okay, but, like, watch Bridgerton on your own computer. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I definitely...
Work computer? Okay.
No, I would use mine for that.
All right, good, 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 good. I've been obsessed with... I was just telling Grace about this, but now you guys get to hear me. I've been obsessed with the show Superstore. It has, like, Parks and Rec office vibes, and it's just so good. Like, every episode is 20 minutes.
It's about, like, a group of people who work at... a supermarket, right?
Well, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like a Walmart,
right?
Yeah,
it's like, so it's like Walmart, like, but it's not Walmart in the show.
Yes, yes. And it's just so funny because they like perfectly depict, is that the right word?
Yeah,
yeah, perfectly depict like the American superstore, which is like a Walmart. Like, you can get anything there. And, like, really only in America we have those. So they just, like, and it's in the middle of nowhere, Missouri. So it's just, like, perfect.
Even better. It hits a little bit close to home.
It hits a little bit closer, yeah. And, like, each character is just, like, so unbelievably quirky. And I love it. I just love it. It's so good. Just to feel
good.
What's it on? Like, I watch it on Hulu.
I do understand, like, because I've seen bits and pieces of it, and it does definitely seem like a nice little feel-good. Like, put it on when you don't want to think about things.
Mm-hmm. You have it, like, in the background. It's, like, a little buffer show between, like, your, like, intense shows, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody needs one of those. So.
Yeah, you don't have to pay too much attention.
Yep, but
it
also,
only uses,
like
when
one
part of your brain.
Yeah. Yeah, it only uses the right side. And
exactly.
And like when you do pay attention though, you're like, this is funny shit. But then when you're not paying attention, you just like, you don't care enough to like rewind it.
Yeah, you don't miss a ton. You're like, eh, whatever.
Exactly. Exactly.
Perfect.
So that's what I've been up to.
That's a good thing to be up to.
Yeah. Well, this week we are gonna talk about good old religion.
Talking about religion.
And
which is a lot to talk about.
It's a lot to talk about, but we're also like not going to talk about it all.
No,
we're
definitely
also
not
going to talk about
there's no way. It would be like a 75 hour episode.
Yeah, and like we don't know everything there is to know about religion or beliefs or anything. Like, so we're just gonna like chat. This is
also,
like,
we both grew up Christian, so like we have a certain perspective on it.
Right.
So it's not even like you and I have like differing like religions
views,
that we
or
were
like
raised
we've
as.
Gone through. Yeah, we haven't like gone through it either, you know.
No. I think we would have different views, like, when it came to Christianity, like, talking about stuff like that. Not, like, insanely drastically different, but, like,
yeah.
I definitely, like, there are things that you and I are not. We're not the same person with our beliefs, but
well, yeah. Nobody,
we're coming from
the
same
like
foundation.
Is.
Yeah. And we're not necessarily even talking about, like, I don't know, you'll see what we're talking about.
Yeah, and, like, we do want to say a huge, huge, huge disclaimer. That like we don't know anything and we don't want this episode to be like a we're trying to like convert anybody or like skew anybody's opinions or views. Like, we're just like here to chat about the history of religion and like how it came to be in America and like just like you know what
I
it
think
is.
It's fun to talk about,
yeah,
and like figure out how we got to where we are now.
Yeah, and, like, we don't want to, like, say, like, oh, blah religion is better than blah, or, like, you're cooler if you, like, do this, but, like, not that. Like, that is not what we're here to do. We just, like, literally want to talk. As
that's
simple
that.
As that is.
And this could also circle back to the foundation of why we created a podcast, because we like talking about things.
Yeah, we're just here to analyze religion in the nicest, simplest way.
Nicest way, most inclusive way,
yeah,
most friendly way, but also I might say stuff that hurts someone's feelings, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, but like everybody's entitled to their own opinion,
right?
And everybody is entitled to have their own beliefs, and if your beliefs don't align with ours, just use this as like a little think tank, you know. Listen
to
this, take what you will.
Yeah. And, like, think about someone else's perspective for a hot sec.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Cool.
Off we go. Grace, take it away.
Okay.
Take it
so
away.
So, I want to start this out by defining religion. And I just took an anthropology class that was called Magic, Science, and Religion. So, while I'm by no means an expert, it was fun to, like, talk about this from, like, academic sort of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually, like, taught me a lot, even though the class is bullshit, but that's a different story. So, religion is, in its fundamental, like, definition, it's, like, a way of creating community within a group of people who don't necessarily have a ton of things in common, and it provides a sense of rules and helps people organize better and helps people create, like, make more sense of the world and explain things that humans can't explain about the world. And it also creates a baseline rule of morals. And, like, that helps people define expected behavior from their neighbors and their friends and people in their life. So it's interesting to think about religion as this tool that was used to, like, help progress humanity. Because if you think about it, like, I don't know if we could have gotten past, like, the
some
caveman
the
stage without like a baseline of morals.
Yeah.
Because it's like you don't sleep with someone else's wife, you don't kill someone, you don't steal things. And like those, if you don't have like a government with laws, like those are really good ways to start. And that's like a really good fundamental thing. Or a fundamental place to, like, build from. And I also think it's interesting to think about, like, the way we view religion. And by we, I'm talking about, like, Western people. Because a lot of Western religions center, like, a specific God-type character rather than certain forms of, like, witchcraft, or I guess like you could talk about like Native American religion,
or like
where
Hindu,
Hinduism. Where it centers not even necessarily multiple gods, but like spirits and like interactive sort of mm-hmm. powers, or powers that are closer to you than like a god would be. And that's why I think it's so interesting, is because there's like a million different religions with so many different perspectives.
Yeah. And it's just interesting because if you've lived in America your whole life, or the United States for your whole life, and you've never like been to a different country, like it's just kind of easy to think like, oh, the only religion that there is like Christianity, or the one that I believe. And it's like so interesting because when I've been to other countries, like in El Salvador, like the dominant religion is Catholicism. And especially when you go over to like Europe, like there are like no Protestant Christians over there. So it's interesting. I don't know. It's just like so interesting. And then even like beyond Europe in like Asia and like South America, in other places of South America, there's like Buddhism and Hindu and like literally so many other religions. It's just kind of crazy.
And it's interesting to think about. Yeah, because I think a lot of people, something that like was taught a lot in this anthropology class I took was that like the idea that one is more correct than the other is inherently flawed, because the majority of the time, like the reason you believe what you believe, whether or not you're choosing to now in your adult life, but it's based on the fact that you were born in a certain location. Like you and I were born in the United States, and even further than that, we were born in the Midwest, and the predominant religion in that area is Christianity, but also like evangelical or some sort of Protestant, and like sometimes Baptist Christianity. And like,
yeah, that's another interesting point.
If you were born somewhere else, you likely would not have been raised in the religion you were raised in, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but like this idea that like there's only one religion that can be true,
mm-hmm. is very interesting.
And that it happens to be yours, mm-hmm. like based on wherever you were born in the world, like the fact that like, oh, well, I happen to be born here, but like I just got really lucky, which is like the odds of that are just not there. Yeah. Like it's not true.
Yeah. And like what you're saying is actually so interesting, because I just watched a video on YouTube, and there's this YouTube channel that's like very interesting to me. It's called God is Gray. And
I love her stuff. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You watch her? Yeah. Yeah. Love her. She's like
Brenda Davies or whatever.
What?
I think her name is Brenda Davies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She kind of describes herself as like a quote-unquote progressive Christian. So if you're just like, if you're wanting to watch like some informational videos about like the progressive Christian movement, like head over mm-hmm. to her channel, because she's very informative and like I find it very interesting to watch. So just a little yeah. plug for her. Love her.
And I listen to her podcast a lot. Like she's shifted basically to an entirely YouTube-based platform. Like, I don't think she yeah. posted on her podcast for multiple years now. But back in, like, 2018, I think I listened to her podcast a lot. And it was really helpful for me, like, figuring out, like, the problems that I had with Christianity and all the things that did not match up in my head. And so I definitely can recommend her stuff. She's really yeah. good.
Yeah. Before we, like, get into, like, the deets of like our experiences, I kind of want to talk about a little bit of the history of how religion came to North America. So we all know like the United States / North America was invaded / discovered by the Europeans. Mm-hmm. Religion was, or the people that were coming over were predominantly Catholic. And the Native Americans and indigenous people that were actually in America at that time kind of had their own form of religion themselves. They would practice a lot of, like, what do you call it?
I think they had a lot more ceremonies that were connected
That's
to
what
the
I was
earth
trying to say.
And, like, I mean, as much as, like, I guess, like, I think that they had a very, like, a very deep connection with the earth and the powers
and the
that
land.
Their beliefs, like, thought ruled it.
Yeah.
And like the way that you respect the land and how like that will benefit you in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually kind of interesting to think about because a lot, like, I'm sure that their religious practices like actually did benefit their lifestyle a lot, which I'm not sure how much, like, if you compare to like the Protestants who came over and sort of like took over,
like who like, was more morally,
not necessarily morally, but like their religious beliefs did not necessarily aid them in any way.
Yeah.
In their like exploration of the land.
That is true. It's definitely interesting. But I do want to note that like the indigenous people in North America like didn't necessarily have what you think as like is a mainstream like religion, but they definitely right. were practicing traditions and ceremonies of their own.
I would describe it, I think, as more spiritual than like
yeah, me too.
Necessarily a religion. Yeah.
Yeah. So the United States kind of got religion into being more of a mainstream like thought kind of in the 18th century. And this was kind of when, you know, the United States was forming and the federal government was actually the first national government to have a no official state endorsed religion when forming the United States, which I think is very interesting. Now today, I don't know. I find that very, I just kind of find it confusing in a lot of ways, but also like cool that we did that. But also it brings back the question about like private schools that have a religion or.
And it's honestly kind of weird. Like, I don't know. I guess I don't know for sure if like there was ever a religion that was declared.
Yeah.
Like but it's like how. It's funny how hard like people had to work to get the separation of church and
yeah.
state,
yeah.
even though
it's actually really crazy.
And we were founded as a nation that was not supposed to have any one major religion.
Uh huh. But yet in our like Pledge of Allegiance, it says like one
we
nation
reference
under
the Christian God.
God.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting to me that they like made that distinction. Yet there do seem to be like a lot of loopholes, which aren't necessarily like bad or good. It's just like interesting to note. And so going back to the indigenous people of North America, they were actually kind of the target of Christian missionary activity in like the 18th, 19th century, which I think kind of, I don't know. I feel I have mixed feelings about it because like, who are we to tell other people to just like change their religion? But I guess that's the point of some Christian beliefs is that you were like placed here to spread God's word. So like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just interesting again to note.
I think that it's important to note that like a lot of the ways that they did this was, I think, like from what I've heard, a lot of like young Native kids were taken away from their families and put into boarding schools and mm-hmm. like basically forced to do this. So I think like, sure, it on paper, it's not a problematic thing that someone like is converting people to their religion, but it's like, if you look at like the nitty gritty of how they were doing it, it's like
right.
very detrimental and abusive.
And that can be, honestly, that can be translated into today where like people kind of tweak the words of like what their religion's beliefs are. Like I just said, like Christianity is very much about like making disciples and spreading the word of God, but there are good ways to do that and there are bad ways to do that. And if you're forcing your religion down somebody's throat and not being inclusive of people who don't share that belief, that's like not mm-hmm. using it in the right way. And I think that was what a lot of the Christian missionaries, the early Christian missionaries in the Americas were doing to
yeah.
indigenous people.
And I think it all comes from this like foundational idea that like they are wrong and they need saving or like they need the proper amount of information, Which, like, if you do have the belief that, like, if these people die, they will go to hell for all of eternity, like, I can understand why that's an urgent matter. But at the same time... But also, like,
be considerate, you know?
Well, and at the same time, like, one of the other, like, rules of the Bible is to, like, love others as you would love yourself. And, like, if you put yourself in the shoes of that person, like, that's not what you would want them to be doing.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of what happened. Again, in the 18th century, several Christian groups were, like, kind of founded. And that was kind of the Great Awakening of America. And what the Great Awakening was just kind of the religious, like, uproar in America. They all kind of resulted from powerful preaching that gave listeners a sense of personal guilt or their sin or that they needed salvation from Christ.
I actually don't know that much about... I remember learning about the Great Awakening, but I don't even remember...
Yeah, we actually learned about it in my, like, 10th grade history class.
Yeah, I remember that too.
I would love to, like, go back and kind of study it more because it does seem so interesting. And when I was doing some research on this episode, it said there was known to be, like, to have been two Great Awakenings, one in, like, the 18th century and one in, like, the 20th century. So, yeah, I don't know which one we even learned about in class. But, yeah, it would definitely be something to look more into because it's super interesting.
Okay, long-term effects of the Great Awakening were decline of Quakers, Anglicans, and Congregationalists, while Presbyterians and Baptists took the rise. It also caused an emergence in Black Protestantism, religious toleration, and an emphasis on inner experience and non-denominationalism.
Interesting.
So people just got woke. Woke within, like, the guise of Christianity.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, I can think what I want to think? No way.
Shit. But, yeah, so some stats today. This is according to Pew Research. In 2020, roughly 42% of Americans are Protestants, 21% are Catholics, 28% are unaffiliated, 2% are Mormon, or members of the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints. And yeah, the United States has the world's largest Christian population in the world.
Whoa.
Yeah, crazy. Wait,
so this begs the question, like, if you are a Christian, would that mean you're not a Catholic, or does that fall under the same umbrella?
Okay, so basically the umbrella of Christianity consists of, like, Protestants, which is, like, Lutheran, Baptist, and others, and also Catholicism is under that umbrella, and I am not sure about Mormonism. Mormonism is, like, something else. I think they consider themselves to be Christian, which is, like, another conversation we'll talk about later. But then also, yeah, there's a few other, like, umbrellas of religion, but that's the Christian umbrella.
Okay, and then it also says that, like, there's 2% of the United States population is Jewish, and 1% of the United States population is Muslim.
Yeah. Cool, cool, cool. Like, America is pretty diverse, when you compare it to other countries in the world. But yeah, definitely the majority is Christian. And it is interesting because we do have religious freedom in the United States because of, like, that diversity and how, like, there are so many different religions that make up America. And I think it's interesting to note that when I was doing my research, it said that the drive to abolish slavery was actually led by Christian preachers, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that. In Kansas, you always learn about John Brown, who was a... Well, it's important to note, like, from Kansas history, from what I've learned, is there were a select few like evangelical mm-hmm. preachers or like people in the evangelical church who believed that slavery was wrong. And it definitely was not a majority by any means, but like this dude named John Brown, who was it was Protestant in some way, but mm-hmm. he basically like would get kicked out of churches because he would like stand up to people who said that slavery was right.
Dude, hell yeah. I love John Brown.
He has like a lot of he was very wanted in the area, so he would like like help start slave uprisings. He killed a lot of people. He killed a lot of like slave owners. There's a mural of him in like the Kansas Capitol. But basically like he had this idea that like slaves were man, and God says that God created all man in his image, and if a man is created in God's image, he cannot be like held down by another man. His beliefs were radical because it wasn't even like the beliefs of the time were more so that like African Americans shouldn't be slaves, not that mm-hmm. they were equal. And he went far enough to like he thought that they were equal. Yeah.
Wow. I love that guy.
Yeah.
That's super very, interesting.
Very, he's a controversial figure because he definitely was not a peaceful man.
Right.
but, you know.
But I mean.
He also, he was like a really bad business person and like went bankrupt multiple times.
You know, I mean, we can just talk about the good things he did.
You can't win them all. I mean.
No, yeah. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
That is funny. Okay, so did you want to talk about your thing?
It's kind of interesting, like, I don't know, a lot of what the anthropology class talked about was, like, the different, I don't know, the beginnings of anthropology and how it was basically to, like, go study people who, like, Westerners thought were crazy mm-hmm. or, like, had these insane belief systems. Mm-hmm. And then it started to switch towards like obviously not looking at it from a perspective of like these people are crazy. But one of the fundamental things that like anthropology studied was like witchcraft and how I think it was started being studied under the guise of like how crazy are these people to believe some random like demon is like gonna take over them or whatever. And it's just like, it's interesting that so many people, I think, especially in Western culture, like it's really easy to look at things like witchcraft and mm-hmm. think that it's crazy or like there's no foundings there. But also like think about anyone who's like practices witchcraft and like looks at Christianity and they're like, that's also crazy.
Yeah, they God had a baby. Right.
But didn't really have a baby and it came through like a virgin. Like how does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so
obviously
like
if you believe in a religion, you think your belief is right.
Valid and right. And like, of course this is like, a correct belief. And I don't think witchcraft is necessarily the same as like a religion. But I think it's interesting that like, I don't know. It's being I feel like it's being not practiced more, but it's like something that people have always been crucified for. Like people were literally burned at the stake for being witches.
Yeah. Have you seen the play The Crucible?
Yeah. I had to like read it multiple times. In high school.
It's so interesting.
And it's just
yeah.
The evidence is just not there for any of it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because like even by like burning these people, it's almost like the Christians were acknowledging the existence of this like witchcraft possibility.
Yeah.
Even though they were saying it's not real or
that's so funny, actually.
And it's like, we're gonna burn you at the stake for something that's not real even though you do it. Which is contradicting itself.
Like, okay.
Because it does exist if you're burning someone for it, and
I feel like if you burn somebody too, like that goes against what God says, like, you know, don't kill people.
Oh yeah, it's the same thing with like the death penalty right now. Like yeah, when people support like the death penalty, it's actually. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
And it's okay. Okay. So you know how in our, you know, oh my God, I can't talk. In America, we have like religious freedom, right? And there's a separation between state and religion. Okay, so then we can start talking about like the death penalty, abortion, same-sex marriage. But then it's, we are talking about religion in
right,
states.
Right, because
so you can't like stay away from it.
Yes, people immediately go and cite. That's the thing that I have such a problem with, is that people immediately go and cite like Christianity or the Bible, which like I fully respect that any like person can hold their own beliefs, and like people in power, like people in Congress and stuff, like can also hold their own beliefs, but it's, you can't bring your personal religion beliefs into something like that. And it's also like, I feel like that argument just like fails. Like, God does not want gay people to be together. Like, okay. And that's not the God that I follow. So like, I don't know why you're telling me about that.
There are so many, I mean, okay, watch God is Gray, do your research, and like, you're entitled to your own opinion. But also like, God created everyone in his eyes. So if he created somebody to be homosexual or heterosexual, like, he created them. So, like, that's okay, you know?
And also, I saw this tweet the other... No, I saw this tweet the other day. It was so funny. It was something like, you know, it was, like, about a trans person. It was like, well, God created you as a man. And the person responded was like, well, yeah, God created you with fucked up teeth and you were originally a brunette, but, like, guess what you did? It was like, you died.
Oh, my God.
Braces. Like, what are you doing?
Wait, that's funny.
And it's just, it's just funny because it's like, I will. It's just like, I don't know. I think my biggest problem with like Christianity in America is that like, it's actually practiced in a way that is detrimental to a lot of people. When you read the Bible, that's not what Jesus is about. And I don't understand how you're reading the Bible and getting this answer from the Bible when I'm reading the same thing, and that's not what I got from it at all.
Yeah, and a lot of the times it is the way you interpret things, and a lot of the times when you interpret things, you're also surrounded by a group of people who have opinions largely based on where in the country or where in the world they grew up in. So like, that's why there's the Bible Belt, and that's why religion is a lot more densely populated in, like, the Midwest rather than, like, the coasts. So, I don't know. It's very interesting to talk about, and I used to have way more of a problem with religion versus, like, beliefs or relationship. Because, like, I think that can also be talked about. Like, it's not necessary. Like, yes, it's a good thing to have community in whatever religion you're practicing. But also, I think it's more about the relationship you have with whatever you're practicing. Like, I think for me, for my own beliefs, it's more important for me to have a good relationship with God one-on-one than it is to attend church every single Sunday. And I think, especially in the Catholic Church, like,
I don't know if I'll keep this in or not, but I'm doing some work for this local church right now. Like, I'm just making some videos for them. And one of the things that the pastor was, like, talking about in one of the videos is he, like, talked about the story of this like Australian man who like got his finger like popped off, basically.
Holy shit.
And then he was talking about how like the finger, apart from the body, is just like useless. Like, it's just like a piece of flesh. Like, it's nothing.
Okay.
And then he was talking about like a person who believes in God who is not a part of the church, and like how that is the same thing. and like they're separate from community and they're useless and all. And I just like, as we're recording this, like I'm just standing there, I'm just like, oh my God. Like, it's just, I don't understand.
Yeah. Like, I get it. I get where that view is coming from. And I think it is important to have a community that you can go to and like grow with. But also, like, it's fine if you don't.
And also, sir, what is your church doing that is so amazing that, like, one person cannot do on their own? Like, are you really making leaps and bounds within your community to improve the lives of others? Like, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And very interesting.
Like, it was sub 6 degrees out in Kansas a while ago. And
like last week, and now it's like 60 like degrees.
Yeah, it is. It's like 70 right now, but it's fine. But like, you didn't open up your church to anyone, and also like 3 homeless people died in Lawrence. Like, are you? What are you saying? What are you saying about your church? Is like, what are you doing? I don't understand what you think that like a person without, because I think to me that's such a frustrating thought process, because it's like you are instilling this idea that like people are nothing without their church, when the people I know in the like Lawrence community who are doing the most for others are not in part of like involved with the church. Like, they are using their resources to help people, and it's just their own determination and their own drive to do that that is making a difference. I don't I can't think of a single church in Lawrence that is making more of a difference than like this one like business. Like, it's a diner on Mass Street that like is doing way more than like any church that I know of.
Yeah.
And I don't understand this mindset of like, by yourself, you're nothing, which is like, no, it's not true.
That's super interesting when you put it into that perspective, because like, I think being Christian myself, I think it's disheartening when like there's that double standard, and they think, a lot of churches think like you're nothing without them, but it when you share that story, like, it just it like makes me go
and
like,
I know
there are churches that do lots of things for their community, so it's not
there every definitely single church, are but right. It's,
there are some that believe I don't know,
and it's but it's just, to me, it's just, it's not even necessarily like the direct impact that they've had in the community, but it's this idea that like you can't have an impact on your community unless you're involved in a church.
But like, you can't,
like, bullshit, like, that's not true.
There's a cute little church in my neighborhood that I live in, and I was walking past it a few weeks ago on like a colder day, and they were handing out meals to the homeless people, and like that's an awesome way that shows that, yeah, some churches are doing some really great things. And it's great to have that community.
And I think I come off, like, or I can tend to be, like, very critical of churches as an establishment. And
I think
that
you have the right to be.
Right. And I the reason I am so critical is because I feel like there's this idea that by spreading Christianity in the community, like, they are helping the world, which, like, I guess if you think that, like, that's making a difference, that's good. But, like, the things that people really need are not necessarily Christianity. Like, people need a place to sleep, and people need food, and people need a job, and people need a car to drive them to work. And, like, I get that you think people need Jesus, but maybe meet the immediate needs of people first before you decide that they need Jesus. Like, going to drop stuff off for someone and like immediately trying to like evangelize to them is just so nasty to me. Like, it feels very dirty and wrong to be taking advantage of someone who's in such a state of need and like immediately saying that, like, you're getting this meal because of Jesus. And it's like, no, it's not because of Jesus. I mean, maybe it is indirectly, but like, don't paint it like Jesus is saving their life when it's like, that's very, like, predatory
to me. Yeah, a lot of times that like puts people off. even more right. than they were before.
Exactly. And, like, I think the stories of Jesus that, like, I think have made the most impact to people is when it's, like, they're not actively trying to convert you. They're just trying to, like, love you and love show you that you deserve, like, important things.
I 100% agree.
And I hate it when it's, like, this, like, everything is done under the guise of, like, well, I'll give them a meal if it means I can talk to them about Jesus. And it's like, no one wants you to talk to, like, I'm pretty sure if you ask them, they would rather just not have you bring anything at all. Like, they don't want it.
I grew up going on mission trips, like, every single summer for, like, 8 years or something. And the reason I loved them so much is because we didn't go somewhere to, like, try to convert people to Christianity. We went to, like, love people. And then if they felt comfortable enough, we were there to talk about it with them. And, like, that's, I think that's why I, like, loved it so much. And on a lot of my mission trips, our main, like, focus wasn't even that. It was, like, or wasn't to, like, change people's beliefs. It was to, like, go assist homeless shelters, go assist with, like, food drives and, like, pass out little kits to people on the street with, like, gift cards in them, like, new socks, toothbrush, toothpaste, like, stuff like that. And I think in a, like, that's why I have, like, a certain, like, view towards your traditional, like, missionaries, because, like, they go out and just, like, try to, like, change people's opinions.
Oh, bro, I have some thoughts on missionaries.
So, I don't know. I have, like, an issue with that, but I have no issue at all with, like, going out, being kind, and loving on people who need love, mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, like, that's what people need, and if you're part of, like, a religious institution that, like, just loves on people, like, stick around, like, stay there.
Yeah, I think the important thing is, like, if you're a part of mission work, like, it's, you need to actually be contributing something to that person's life. Like, it can't just be like, I'm gonna sit here and hang out and, like, play with these kids. Like, and I'm criticizing this as someone who has gone on mission trips and, like, has looked back on it and been like, oh, yikes, like, that was actually, like, a really bad decision and a really bad trip, and, like, the motive was not at all what, like, that's you paint sad. It as in your head, you know, it's like, in your head, you're like, oh, we're gonna go and really help these people, and then you leave and you're like, I didn't do shit, like, I actually just made this kid, like, more traumatized because people are going in and out of their life, like, every week, and I think it's important to, like, I guess the way that I view mission trips is, like, if you have something to give them, give it to them. If you don't, maybe just spend the money that you would have spent on, like, plane tickets and housing, just send it to the organization. And if you have some sort of specific training, like, if you are a nurse or if you are, like, a dietary specialist, or if you have something to offer these people in by way of, like, your knowledge, then do it. But if you don't have anything to actually contribute to their lives, then, like, stay away. Like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, if you're not actually contributing anything, then it's actually just for you, you know? It's for you in a way that you don't want it to be. And as much as you try and convince yourself it's not, it definitely is.
Yeah.
That's my take.
So, check your morals, folks.
Yeah, and I think the difficult thing about, like, the perspective that you get in all of this, as someone who, like, heavily participated in it for a long time, it was just like, you have this thought in your head that you're doing the right thing.
But look at it from their
perspective. And and the thing is that the whole time, like, I've had, like, little doubts that I was like, it's fine. Like, I'm glad I'm skeptical, because, like, it's better to be skeptical. But, like, I didn't ever take the time to really dig into that in a way that was substantial that would actually change any of my opinion, because I wanted the answer to be that it was okay. I wanted it to be like, oh, this is cool. Like, you can go do it because it's good for people. But it wasn't, you know? Mm. And, like, there's going to be something inside of you telling you that it's wrong. And you should listen to that.
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely, like I said, like, I've had really great experiences with mission trips. So just do your research if you're wanting to go on one. And yeah, I do want to touch on Scientology, because technically that is a religious belief.
It is. And I will just like to say, like, Scientology, started on, like, some literally, like, science fiction books.
Literally.
Fiction. Science fiction. And the genius business strategy that it took to get it to where it is now.
Dude, it's insane, actually.
It's so crazy.
Have you seen the documentary?
Yes. And yeah. I also watched, there's a Walking Phoenix, Paul Thomas Anderson movie, The Master. Mm. Which, like, it's not about Scientology, but it's about Scientology. Like, they can't straight up say this is Scientology because they would get so much heat, but, like, it's Scientology.
Yeah. So, basically, this, like, religious movement called Scientology, it has also been described as, like, cult or a business.
Which, in my opinion, is the correct answer. Yes.
But, like, Tom Cruise thinks otherwise.
I mean, Tom Cruise is wacky. Crazy.
I think we all know that. But anyway, so it was kind of formed by this guy named L. Ron Hubbard, who just, like, wrote these goddamn books. And people were like, holy shit. This is it. This is it.
I think, well, okay, from the document, what I remember about the documentary is I feel like they started out as, like, complete science fiction, and then he decided to, like, market them, like, as a religious text.
Yeah, so he developed these ideas as, like, a form of therapy.
Right.
Called Dianetics. And then he, like, promoted it through his research foundation.
Yeah.
And then he soon filed bankruptcy.
That's how all good churches start out.
Yes. And that allowed him to lose the rights to his real book.
Right.
So then he recharacterized the subject of all of his, like, thoughts to the practice of, like, Scientology, religion.
Okay.
Which is so very, very weird.
Yeah, whatever. It's really strange. Okay, so the core beliefs of Scientology is that a human being is an immortal spiritual being called a Thetan that is resident in a physical body. The Thetan has innumerable past lives, some of which, preceding the Thetan's arrival on Earth, were lived in extraterrestrial cultures. Based on case studies at advanced levels, it is predicted that Scientologists undergoing auditing will eventually come across and recount a common series of events. Okay, so basically, like, the way Scientology works is you have to pay money in order to get to this, like, next level of consciousness.
The next level. Yeah.
And you have to keep going until you reach transcendence, is that what I think they call it?
Something like that.
And to get to the top level, it costs millions of dollars.
No, like, billions.
And that's why Ted Cruz is doing great. Because he's got money. Yeah.
That's why Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise. But there are surprisingly, like, thousands of people that follow this cult. I'm going to call it a cult.
Right. Yeah.
And so if you haven't before, you should totally watch, like, the docu-series with Leah Remini. She's, like, an American actress who grew up in Scientology, and her family were Scientologists, and she, like, left the religion, and it's, like, it just kind of, like, follows her talking about it, talking about her experiences with it, and she ends up, like, talking to people, other people who have left the religion, and it's, like, so interesting. I like, love this shit, so I find it so, so, so interesting, because, like, they aren't, if you leave the religion, like, you are not allowed to talk to people.
To anyone in the religion.
To anyone in your religion anymore if you leave the religion. And
I, like, think that's also true. I mean, that's the brilliance of it is that, like, you are so isolated in it that you like have no way of understanding how fucked up it is because you like basically just lose touch with reality, which is why it's the definition of a cult. Right.
Yeah. So basically, so in the docuseries, which you should watch, I'm going to keep saying it, but in the docuseries, they explain how Scientology works. And the reason we're going off on a tangent on this is because, like, it's so interesting that people still follow this, like, quote unquote religion. What?
And I think it's because, like, I mean, it's so hard to get out. Like, it's if you get out, you lose everyone. Everything. In like all the money you've put into it, all and the like, people you know. And like, what is it for?
What's it all for? You know? Very, very interesting. But basically, so when you're part of the religion, you have like these one-on-one sesh, like sessions with
calling an auditing a sesh. Yeah, you go into like a sesh with the auditor, you know, and they just test like how moral and like transcendent you are.
Well, they test your knowledge on what you've read. So it's like school. And if you mess up, like, I don't know, if you get, like, a certain percentage wrong in your auditing sessions, you, like, have to go back down a level and repurchase the materials and blah, blah, blah. But if you, like, pass your level with your audit, you, like, get to go to the next level and you have to repurchase the materials. So you're just, stuck.
The worst part is not even necessarily that, like, if you, like, verbally say something wrong, it has to do with, like, this, like the electrical currents in your body, and this machine is reading it. So it's not even based on like what you say; it's based on like things that you cannot control within your body. And then they can just be like, "Ah, you got levels got too high. You got to go down."
Like it's bonkers, actually. And in the docuseries, they like they talk to this one person that. Okay, so in California, I think there's like a camp or like a community.
Like a
fenced in community of Scientologists. And this person that they were like talking to actually like got over the fence or got out of the fence and like took a run for it. And they like had people out there and like tackled him down, like got him, and he had to like stay back in the community for like a few more years before he could like actually escape.
Yes.
Which is so crazy.
Yeah. And they like they've like taken people's children from them and like put their children in different housing facilities, and like you don't get to see your kid and you just have to trust that they're okay, and then turns out like the children are very much not okay.
Yeah. There's issues with it. You could say.
And it's like an interesting case study, but it's also horrific. Like when you think about the detriment this has done to people's lives, it's so scary.
Well, yeah, and in like every single episode or every single like testimony I've ever seen of somebody leaving the religion, like they're emotionally not okay because of this.
Yeah.
And like you'd think a religion wouldn't do that to somebody, and that can be talked about for all religions, but
yeah,
it's just crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I think the problem, like if you are in a situation where like your religion will straight up just not let you do something unless or like or just I guess straight up not let you do something at all, and the punishment like
yourself.
And the punishment is kicking you out of the church, then it's likely not a good place to be.
Well, yeah.
Just like a good rule of thumb, you know?
Yeah.
For life.
It's disappointing because places that follow the same religious beliefs, like two different places that follow the same beliefs, can be so different.
Yeah.
Like, I'd say the church I went to in Minnesota is, like, so different from another non-denominational / Protestant church in Kansas. Mm-hmm. Like, even though they're in the same region, like, mine was very accepting of homosexuals and, like, loved on them and, like, accepted them. Whereas, like, I'm sure there are some Protestant churches somewhere that don't. So it's just interesting. Like,
yeah, I mean, just, you know, just a few of them here and there. Not like,
sprinkled about.
Yeah.
So
just like the majority.
If you don't feel comfortable being yourself or like doing whatever you want, like in accordance to your beliefs. But
I think that's the key thing is that like if you feel good about your life morally.
Yeah.
And your church is telling you that you're wrong. There's like, there's something off there. And maybe you should like not go to church there anymore.
Yeah. Find somewhere else, buddy.
Yeah. Because there's plenty of
churches that are doing like streaming services right now. So like test them out. If that's what you want to do, sure. If you don't want to do that, cool.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Who cares at all?
And
no one.
At the end of the day, that's all we wanted to like say in this podcast was like, no one religion is cooler or better than the other. If you believe in what you believe and are passionate about that, right. Cool.
And if you have some sort of like, not vendetta, but like some sort of like instinctual reaction that like that's not true or that you are in fact correct and everyone else is wrong,
check yourself.
Maybe dig into that a little bit and figure out where that's coming from because
that's definitely my least favorite part.
It's not a good way to operate in life is to think that you're right and everyone else is wrong.
Well, yeah, and that goes with anything, not just religious beliefs, but like be considerate of others and remember that everybody is entitled to their own opinion. And just because they have another opinion doesn't mean you have to force yours down their throat.
Ted Cruz, you can believe in Scientology if you want, but like blink twice if you're...
Wait, Ted Cruz, you just said...
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck. He's a whole nother conversation.
So sorry.
But Tommy, blink twice if you want to be saved.
Yeah.
Ted, you can go fuck yourself.
Ted, you can genuinely fuck off.
Ted Cruz, that is. Not my dad. Love you, Ted.
Oh, we got a lot of Teds in this conversation.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to peace out.
Also, let us know if you want to dive us. I feel like this was kind of all over the place, so we can do another if you want, because we really just jumped around, but...
But also, it was kind of good.
How it goes.
In my opinion.
Kind of loved it. I don't know about you.
I'm entitled to my own opinion.
Indeed you are. Indeed you are.
Yeah, but also, we would just, like, love to talk about it. If you listened to this and have opinions of your own, shoot them our way. Like,
also, if you are, like... a practicing witch, I want to talk to you. Like, I really do.
If you're part of Scientology, this is your sign to leave.
Indeed. I don't know how. I don't have resources for you. I'm sorry. Just leave.
We can
sneak you out.
Do something.
We can drive to their compound and sneak them out. We might get shot at. They might send their dogs on us, but we'll do our best.
What a crazy journey that would be, Grace. Let's do it.
That'd be a nice podcast.
If somebody out there is listening and they're a Scientologist but don't believe in that and want to leave, let us know because we're in the mood for a road trip.
Just a nice little excursion, you know. Would have Scientologists preying upon me for the rest of my life, but no big deal.
Oh, God.
That sounds really intense.
Yeah, actually, I don't want to do that. All right. Well, on that note, have a great week and peace be the journey.
What did you say? Peace be the journey?
Peace be the journey, baby.
I've never heard that before, but okay. I'm with it. Peace be the journey, everyone.